This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Urban Consulate is a network designed to share ideas for creating more just and equitable communities. And this evening, and in partnership with Cincy Nice and Afro Sheen, comes Black Places Matter, an outdoor conversation about the future of Black neighborhoods. It's happening in Walnut Hills at Five Points Alley at 7 o'clock tonight. The conversation will be led by Cincinnati and Detroit residents, and joining us now to talk more about it, our co-host, Naima Bilal. Naima, I apologize, we didn't get a chance to talk before we connected here on the air, and I just want to make sure I pronounce your name correctly. Would you mind?
Thanks so much, Naima Bilal.
It is Naima Bilal. Thank you for being with us. And we also have with us the engagement director at Bridge Detroit, Orlando P. Bailey. Orlando, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And Walnut Hills Area Council President, Catherine Gardette. Catherine, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you for hosting.
Naima, let's start with you. This is an event taking place in Walnut Hills. In the news release sent out by the organization promoting this event, you talk about how Walnut Hills is one of Cincinnati's oldest hilltop neighborhoods and a significant piece of the city's Black history. So why is it important that Walnut Hills is playing host to this conversation this evening?
First of all, thanks so much. It's great to be here. I will say that Catherine Gardette has far more, rigor in the history there. And so not to deflect the question, but I think Catherine's positionality as a longtime Walnut Hills resident probably make her a better suited person to answer that question.
Certainly. Catherine, and definitely was going to pose a follow-up from your perspective, but we can move right on to you about this. You know, let's talk a little bit about Walnut Hills and its role in Cincinnati Black history and why it's important that it hosts this conversation tonight.
The community of Walnut Hills is the only community that has a Black business district from the ground up. That is the Lincoln Avenue Business District. And adjacent to the Lincoln Avenue Business District is the Harriet Beecher Stowe House. And Harriet Beecher is the author of Uncle Tom's Cabin. So she learned a lot about what it meant to be Black while she was a resident of Walnut Hills.
And so when we think about Black places, tell us what is meant by that.
It is a place where Blacks own, live, and promote and are in collaboration. It is the community that has those third places that we speak of, where they can congregate, not just that they are significantly predominantly Black, but places where everyone can come, but there truly is ownership. There is development in the culture.
Naima, let's go back to you and build upon that question, because I'm wondering if, you know, the events of last summer and the conversations that sparked from that and the activism that continues today, if that has changed the type of conversation being had about Black places and how they matter?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question because the discourse has never changed, right? I think it's just reached a fever pitch as, more and more people are reckoning, you know, this reckoning has always been present in the Black community. So the questions haven't changed. I just think the urgency of it has changed. And part of what Urban Consulate is looking to do is ask this question, which is, you know, what does placemaking, well, really, what does work at the intersection of placemaking, development, equitable development look like when Black Lives Matter? So to link it to the events of summer of 2020 and the aftermath of George Floyd's murder, we are leaning more into explicit naming of what it means to not just preserve, but to honor, expand, and build upon the richness of Black communities. Because when we reckon with the isolation of Black communities from power and development and preservation and protection, you know, that also means we have to reckon with the lineage of redlining that existed in Cincinnati. We can literally map on to current Black neighborhoods who continue to be isolated inequitably by looking at, you know, neighborhoods that were designated as hazardous by federal housing agency. You know, so we cannot have a conversation about Black places mattering without also having a conversation about a reckoning with the cumulative impacts of not just slavery. We don't need to have to go as far back as slavery. Jim Crow laws, redlining, and all of the cascade of inequitable policies, like legal policies that to this day contribute to this conversation. The fact that we're having this conversation in 2021 is sobering.
Orlando P. Bailey is the engagement director at Bridge Detroit and will also be a co-host of this evening's event in Walnut Hills. Orlando, I understand that you learned how to practice community development in your native East Side, Detroit. Talk a little bit about placemaking and community development in Black neighborhoods.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for the question. I grew up on the southeast side of the city of Detroit. And when I graduated from college, I came to work for a community development not-for-profit that focused on the lower east side of Detroit. So I literally did get to practice in community development in the neighborhoods that I grew up in. Interestingly enough, I grew up with a grandmother who is still the matriarch of our family. And she owned a home on a street, and she also owned vacant lots. And she activated those vacant lots with picnic benches, with activities, with parties, things of that sort. And I always say that Granny was doing placemaking before placemaking became a thing, and before the name came, and before foundations wanted to fund it, right? In my experience, Black folks have always created a sense of community, a sense of place, wherever they are. To build on Naima's point, on the Lower East Side of Detroit, Black folks in the city of Detroit were relegated to live in certain neighborhoods because of redlining and predatory exclusion, right? And so given the community and given the close-knit and tight nature of everybody who were black at that time being in that community, it created a culture, it created a place, it created a richness, it created a fabric that I think, you know, cities with majority Black populations or significantly Black populations are now experiencing this cultural anxiety, along with the pressure to develop, along with market engineering on part of cities and government. And that's something that we're even grappling with in the city of Detroit today. We're looking at massive flooding happening in the city of Detroit, and the most people that are disparately affected are Black folks on the Lower East Side. Well, that goes back to, you know, policies, predatory policies of exclusion, where Black folks were relegated to live by the river because nobody wanted to live there when it flooded. And so this conversation is so palpable and is so sobering that we have to begin to continue to name place, to name narrative in that, to name policy in that, policy inflicted violence in that, and to claim space.
It's interesting, Orlando, that you mentioned your grandmother who would put picnic tables in some of the vacant lots. And I think I've read about a term, the missing tooth effect. So that's like in a historic neighborhood where there used to be a line of buildings and maybe there's one or two buildings missing. And now you have this grassy lot there. And how do you activate it? Maybe a community garden goes in, picnic tables go in, you make a pocket park out of it. And you make the note that this is something that's been going on long before we had a name like placemaking for it.
Yes, absolutely. Detroit experienced a decline over, decades. And my grandmother was a pillar in that community and always was the house where everybody went to. So she made sure that she had space in place for people to be comfortable. And I think this has always been the tendency, especially for Black women matriarchs who are the conveners of families, are the conveners of community. We need place and space to do that, whether it's acreage or whether it's that missing tooth that you talked about. She purchased the land and she activated the land, and it was just what it was. We didn't know the term blight, right? I didn't realize that we were living in an impoverished neighborhood. I didn't realize that a house for every lot wasn't a normality, right? Because it was beautiful. The lots were cut, the lots were activated, and it was a community, right? And then grappling with the language of revitalization, because my genius space is in narrative, grappling with language of revitalization and development and redevelopment, we hear terms like renewal and blight and blank slate. But we were there. We've always been there. And it's always been a place.
You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU, and we're talking about a conversation taking place this evening in Walnut Hills. It's being presented by the Urban Consulate and characterizes a cross-city exchange involving people from Cincinnati and Detroit. It's called Black Places Matter, and it is a conversation exploring the future of Black neighborhood ownership, narrative, and imagination. And we are joined today by co-host Naima Bilal, Orlando P. Bailey, and Catherine Gardette. Catherine is the president of the Walnut Hills Area Council. And Catherine, we've done a lot of talking on this program in recent months about real estate and how hot the market is, how challenging the market is, and how people are disproportionately affected if they're of lower income. And I'm wondering if the current situation involving real estate, particularly in neighborhoods like Walnut Hills, where there is a good old housing stock, if that's having a negative impact on the identity of that area as a Black neighborhood.
I'll start with that the many assumptions that are made about communities that are Black is that people that are living there are of lower economics. I think of Orlando's comments that, you know, when people say we're bringing places back, well, there are many of us who have always been here. So what are you bringing back? Because we've been holding this space for decades many times. And I will say that what I believe cities truly need to start looking at as neighborhoods are being gentrified is the middle class, because that is really what's starting to be missed from our communities, whether they're primarily Black or if they're mixed. And I see that happening in my neighborhood of Walnut Hills, that we, fortunately in Walnut Hills, have had two low-income housing tax credits projects awarded this year. But we do not have programs that support our long-term residents that are middle class, that are Black, to bring their homes into alignment with code enforcement. And that needs to be addressed in cities.
Catherine, how would you encourage a city to go about helping with that?
Conversations is a beginning. To acknowledge that there is this, as you talk about missing teeth in as you walk through a business district, well, there is the missing teeth in the middle class. There are programs that are bringing back development to fill those missing teeth. So how do we fill that gap to make certain that our long-term residents aren't being pushed out for code enforcement or pushed out because of the tax increase, property tax?
Let's turn back to Naima Bilal. This event tonight in Walnut Hills has been promoted as one to talk about the future of Black neighborhoods, the ownership in Black neighborhoods. Could you help us understand what is meant by that, the ownership of Black neighborhoods?
Yeah, I just wanted to circle back to something Catherine said that
sure.
really elevated for me, that the idea of, you know, Cincinnati does have a lineage of neighborhoods claiming ownership and claiming inclusion. Like, I live in Kennedy Heights, which during an era of, you know, quote unquote, white flight, Kennedy Heights 60 plus years ago said, this is not happening here. And Kennedy Heights stands out as one of these Cincinnati neighborhoods that rejects this sort of, you know, there is no one block in Kennedy Heights that's all white or all Black. It is a truly diverse community as socioeconomically. And I chose to move my family to Kennedy Heights for that reason, because of that long history of not just being diverse, but being intentional to ensure the community reflected Cincinnati as a whole. So I'll say that we have a lineage of that in Cincinnati. I think the question is, you know, how are we going to build on that? And so when you talk about, you know, what does ownership really mean? Partially, ownership is frankly normalizing the kind of placemaking that Black people do. When we congregate on a street corner, it is an act of liberation, it is an act of community, it is an act of connection and joy. Currently, when we see Black folk congregating, it is criminalized. And the policing of Black bodies has been so that we can't even own our public spaces, the same way that you and I would go to Washington Park or Smail. When we show up and congregate in spaces, it's criminalized. And so I think in terms of ownership, we just need to start from jump. When we are in public spaces and we congregate, we are family, we are community. And so the cascade of that conversation can move forward from there. But if when we connect and convene as a group, we are, you know, criminalized. There's not much more you can move forward beyond that conversation there. And frankly, when it comes, you know, Cincinnati has huge meaning for us, ownership over the Rhine and the development there, pushing residents out, like literal conversations about housing affordability. Well, affordability for whom? Mm-hmm. Like I look at what we're, you know, Catherine, you and I talk about this a lot. Affordable for whom? Affordable for a solid middle-class family, or is it really affordable for the average Black person in Cincinnati? No. And so ownership has this huge, like, cascading list of questions, which is why the dialogue is so critical. And we hope that it'll spark conversation also at a policy level. Because Cincinnati, you know, in terms of development, we need an equitable development rubric on which we plan every aspect of our community development that also operates at the Port Authority level, operates at the City Council level, that can ensure trust and confidence that development projects are not simply benefiting one group and not the community as a whole.
Orlando P. Bailey is the Engagement Director at Bridge Detroit, also a co-host of tonight's event from the Urban Consulate, Black Places Matter, taking place this evening in Walnut Hills. Orlando, we've heard a lot of conversations so far during this chat involving a lot of different parties, whether it be city council or policing or members of the community. Who is this conversation for? Is this a type of conversation this evening that will be of interest to all of those folks?
Yes, I think this conversation is for the curious. This conversation is for the person who may be a little despondent and needs to be around some folks who are like-minded to help spur some action and reinvigoration. This conversation is for residents, first and foremost, right? Residents who are experiencing this kind of cultural anxiety and the literal pushing out that Naima and Catherine are talking about. This conversation is for everybody, but I think because the conversation is for everybody, I think people will leave with different calls to action, depending upon where they find themselves, what role they find themselves in.
And Catherine, I know we talked about the significance of Walnut Hills as a Black neighborhood and its role in Cincinnati history, but if we could just go a little bit deeper with the Five Points Alley, which is hosting this evening's event. And this was a place that was created as a welcoming spot for folks in the neighborhood. Is there significance in Five Points Alley hosting this evening's conversation?
Well, it is. At the time when Five Points was developed, I was the president of the Walnut Hills Redevelopment Foundation. And there was a big tree stump in the middle of it. You would find all things that you wouldn't want to see in there. And as a community, we came together and we cleaned the space and we made the space a place where we could gather. So it's a place of transformation. It is a place where people of all walks of life came together, created a space where we can have all walks of life come together for communication like we're going to have this evening. That is a big importance of Five Points.
We've got details on this evening's event at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. Also want to note that there are some other upcoming events taking place September through November. We'll have a link to that as well, hosted by the Urban Consulate, including an exploration of equity and education, the science of change and understanding, and the question, affordable for whom? All of those will be at the Mercantile Library. Again, details at WVXU.org. Inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. My thanks go out to co-host of this evening's event, Naima Bilal, and Orlando P. Bailey and Catherine Gardette of the Walnut Hills Area Council. Thanks to all three of you for the time you gave us today, and good luck with your event this evening.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Share your joy.
We will be sure to do that, sharing our joy. You can find more details about upcoming shows here on Cincinnati Edition at WVXU.org, as well as all of the day's top headlines. I'll be with you this afternoon as well, filling in for Bill Reinhart on All Things Considered. Hope you can join us for that. But you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition in this noon hour. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. This theme music was composed by Rob Fetters, also at WVXU.org. Links to every episode we've ever done for you to listen at your pleasure. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.